Let us pray. Lord, help us to never give up. Help us to never give up. Amen. Please be seated. Perhaps you can relate to the words of that prayer that are based on a speech that Winston Churchill gave. In the wake of the end of World War II, he was asked to go to a prestigious university and deliver the commencement address. And with all ears and eyes focused upon him, he got up to the microphone and said just that. Never give up. Never, 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 never give up. And then he sat down. One of the most powerful commencement addresses ever to be given. When we understand that in the wake of World War II, and him being the leader of England that kept the people focused and persevering and with hope, and the rest is history. Never give up. The theme of the gospel that we have today is one of persistence, of perseverance. Usually, when we have one of these parables, the preacher has pretty much free rein to sort of pick and choose what they want to pull out of it, but Luke doesn't give us that luxury because he tells us before he tells the story what the meaning is. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the need to pray always and to not lose heart. So, pray always and don't lose heart. End of sermon. I could do that, but I don't think you'd feel like you got your money's worth today. Pray always, the action. Not to lose heart, the attitude. The two play off of each other. Not to lose heart, to have hope. And it is that hope, it is that attitude that will drive the action of continuing to pray always, to hang in there, to persevere. I don't think there are any of us who in some way were not moved by the story that reached its conclusion this past week with the rescue of those 33 miners from Chile. There was tremendous perseverance. There was a tremendous amount of hope. And that, I think, was expressed very well by the president of Chile. He was interviewed by ABC News. I just want to play you a short version of that interview that sort of captures that feeling that he had.
President Sebastian Piñera, who insisted early on every effort be made, even people doubted they were alive. He said, I believe they are. I talked with President Piñera today. Mr. President, we saw miner after miner come up to you, grab your hands, hug you. What were they saying to you?
First of all, they were so grateful of life, so full of hope and trust. And they, first of all, they hugged their wives, their daughters, their parents, and they were really full of life. They full of emotions, full of joy. Not only in Chile, all over the world. And the miners, they gave us a lesson of unity, of work in partnership, of faith, of hope. So it has been a day that we will never, never forget.
We heard from so many people that even when they didn't believe they could be alive, you still did believe. Why?
I had an inner voice that told me at all times they are alive. We have a commitment with them. We have to search them and look for them until we find them.
So many people are commending you and Chile for the way this was handled. What's the big lesson for crisis management?
Well, many lessons. First of all, that you have to start working with all your energy and all your resources from the very first moment. You cannot waste a second. And in our case, we didn't waste a second. From the very first moment, we decided to take full responsibility for the rescue effort. Second lesson, never lose your faith and hope. Never give up.
Will you sleep a lot tonight?
Even if I cannot sleep tonight, it will be a very wonderful night. I will remember it forever.
Thank you.
Diane, thank you very much.
Never lose your faith and hope. Never give up. That attitude that drove the action that took place. It took 17 days for a probe to get down that the miners had placed a little piece of paper on that went back up and said, "We are all alive." And with that possibility of life and hope, everything continued to happen. The men who were down there, we're told, got organized, and they had schedules for working and praying, and they even had to ration the little bit of tuna they had. Sometimes it was a bottle cap a day, but they had a plan. They were organized, and they continued to take action because there was hope. At the top, there was the same. When they received that note and there was this possibility of life, that rescue effort intensified. When there is this possibility of hope, a possibility of life, we do not lose heart, and it drives the action of persistence and perseverance, which happened in that situation. This is what Jesus is talking about today. Somewhere deep down, there is a possibility of life. And with that small possibility of life, or how great it might be, there is a God who sees that in each one of us. And that is what should drive us not to lose heart, because there is a God who believes that it is there in us. Whether we have to go so far deep down that we still cannot perceive it, God does. And that can be that which sustains us. I did some studies on perseverance and persistence this week, just to sort of get a feel for what this was all about. And one of the things that came to my realization was that it is more about the fact that we persist, that we persevere, than it is about the success we might achieve. You know, some of these stories coming out about these miners is, it wasn't all rosy down there. There were some fist fights. There were some folks who started to despair. It wasn't all perfect. And I think that's good that that's coming to our attention, because God never called any of us to be perfect, but he called us to persevere and persist. The first reading that you can read in your bulletin is a story from Genesis about Jacob literally wrestling with God. I told the reader at the last service that I wanted her to act it out. Wide world of wrestling. Jacob versus God. She didn't see the humor in that. I guess you don't either. But there is that image that's in Genesis of this wrestling that Jacob does on his journey before he gets reunited with Esau, his brother, and reconciled. But there is something about that wrestling, that struggling, that we continue to go about it. It's about the persistence. It's about our perseverance. And we can do that because of this God who is there. This story that we hear today, this widow, she's not somebody I would want to mess with. The literal translation of when that unjust judge says she's going to wear me out is she's going to give me a black eye. She's going to punch me in the face. None of us would want that, would we? But I think the thing that we can end up doing with this story is compare God to this unjust judge. And that's not the point. The point of the parable is an argument from the lesser to the greater. It's sort of like that reading we get on Thanksgiving where Jesus is saying, see the lilies of the field and see the birds of the air, and, you know, God cares for them. Well, how much more then will God take care of you, O little flock? And here's the same thing. This unjust judge, he doesn't care for God. He has no respect for any human being. Now, if that unjust judge is going to deliver what that widow needs, How much more is God going to give you what you need if you persevere? Because God is not the unjust judge. God is the perfectly just God and judge. I did a little bit of study on persistence, and there's this scientist psychiatrist out in one of those universities in California who did some intensive studies about persistence, and he wanted to come up with a conclusion whether or not persistence is something that is innate in us, that we're born with it, or if it is something that can be developed. And he did all these tests with different things, and the conclusion was very clear. Persistence is something that we learn, that we develop. It is a habit, a good habit, a virtue. Now, think of this. If it's something that is learned, who would have learned more about persistence and perseverance than Jesus? Think of what he went through. 12 men, he chooses them. He dedicates his 3 years left on the face of the earth with training them to continue his work. And he works with them and works with them and teaches them and shows them, and they don't get it, do they? But he persists. He continues throughout his public ministry to talk to the religious leaders of the day, trying to help them to understand that it's not about obeying all these silly rules, it's about matters of the heart. And he persists and he persists, and they don't get it. But Jesus keeps on keeping on. He talks to all the people of Israel, saying, this kingdom of God thing that you're thinking about, it's not about this military victory we're going to have. It's something that is available to us right now. And he goes to his death on the cross with them just not getting it. But he persists in doing that. Now, if we have a God who is that persistent, think of this in terms of not in the parable God being the unjust judge, but God being the widow. God is a God who does not give up on us. He pursues us. He seeks us out. He keeps coming back again and again and again, and will never give up on us because he sees deep down that possibility of life within each one of us. And that is something for us not to lose heart about. That is something for us to take incredible hope so that we can pray always. We can persist. We can persevere. There's a movie that just came out recently. It's called Secretariat. It's about that horse that won the Triple Crown some years ago. And I didn't do this illegally. They sent out to some of the clergy film clips from this movie that we can play as part of our sermon. So today you get a free movie. So you can put an extra $12 in the collection plate because you won't have to go to Cinemark tonight to see it. Maybe some money for popcorn and soda as well. But the point of this clip is this. The movie really isn't about the horse. It's about the lady who took on this horse, Penny Tweedy, to work at developing this horse's ability. And it ends up being more about the growth that happens in her than it has to do with what happens with Secretariat. This scene we're about to show, she's sort of on the outs a little bit with her family, but she's at this cocktail party and her kids come up to her one by one, and she starts to realize from what they say what they have perceived the changes in her. Let's watch the clip.
Mom. Kate, you're late.
Oh, you're not late. You're perfectly on time.
Look at you. You're so beautiful, and you're all grown up.
You look beautiful too, Mom. I'm grown up.
I am so proud of you. Thank you.
Oh.
I love you.
I love you.
Mom!
Come here.
Oh, Sam.
Oh, look at you.
I miss you. Hey, look at what I got.
Is that the coin?
The coin?
The coin.
Oh.
Here. Go ahead, you can hold it. You guys keep it safe.
Okay, don't lose it tonight. It's important.
They are growing up, all of them.
Kate is so beautiful in that gown. And Sarah in hers?
Yeah, I wish I'd bought those gowns earlier. Something I need you to know. I want you to win. And win or lose, you've taught our children what a real woman is and what it is to believe in yourself. And I never could have taught them either of those things.
And you've taught me something, too.
I realized something. I've already won. I made it here. I didn't quit. I've run my race. Now you run yours.
Through her persistence and the comments of her family, she realizes that she has continued to keep the attitude of hope, that she has continued to, in her own way, pray always. The attitude leading to her action. Never give up. Pray always. Do not lose heart. For deep down, even when we can't perceive it, there is a God who sees the possibility of life in us. Let us take that to our prayer.
Please feel free to sit, stand, or kneel for the prayers of the people.